March 19th, 2019. First thing is going to be approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, I know of two recommendations for today's agenda. We can strike recognition of Sussex County EMS, J-E-M-S, GEMS team. Members of the GEMS team were not able to attend today's meeting, so we can strike that and invite them back at a future date.
Sure.
Mr. President, I see that we only have three members of council today, and I know that Mr. Burton may or may not be here at a later time frame. However, given the fact that we do have a number of old business items on the agenda, I would highlight that to council to see if there's any recommendations to strike those and defer for a future meeting, given the fact that we only have three members right now, with not a guarantee that Mr. Burton will be here later today.
Sure. What's the pleasure, council? You want to defer it, or?
Yeah.
I mean, they're in his district,
I
think.
Defer it till our other members can participate.
Okay.
Maybe we should just take off.
Well, we're here. You want a motion to defer on old business?
All of it.
What, there are only three things in there? Yeah, they're all in his.
They're all in his district?
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, I'll make that motion.
Motion.
I'll second it.
Mr. Riley, second. Mr. Wilson, any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I will, yes. Motion carried. Anything else, Todd?
No, thank you.
Okay. Then we'll make a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley? Second. Mr. Wilson, any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I will, yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of March 12th. Any questions, corrections? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondent, Mr. Moore?
There is none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondent from council. Public comment? Mr. Guy?
Can we hold up seven?
Yeah.
Seven public comments?
Oh, my. Okay. Jim Martin?
That's one way to get through this thing.
Yeah.
Yes, I am Jim Martin, a resident of Georgetown. I am grateful to the council members for hiring a consultant for a study that will be done over the next 6 months. Our county may be able to find out what to refine in the regulatory environment of zoning ordinances and building codes. This could then encourage sustainable market-driven answers to the affordable housing crisis that we are now in. I understand that tiny homes may be a part of the overall solution, but not the total answer for our affordable housing needs. As I look around the country for replicatable and successfully executed tiny home developments that we could replicate here in our county, I am finding that the average wait time from the conceptual idea to actually building on land takes an average of 5 years. So I stand before you with both hands sort of tied behind my back with red tape, and the only thing I can do now is to be a weekly 3-minute voice for the working poor as they continue to suffer every day. My immediate goal is to secure a specific parcel of land that I could point to and then submit a specific development plan to planning and zoning officials. This way, maybe the plan I submit would then place the subject of this type of affordable housing on your agenda at some point, sooner than later. With that land, though, my comments are based only on hypothetical situations and just a vision. A great example of one that is already operating is in Austin, Texas, under the name of the Community First Village. As I look over the process, I see that the land and zoning will be our biggest stumbling blocks. But maybe we can do a public-private partnership and use eminent domain as a tool to create just a few acres of a tiny house opportunity zone. We could test it out. We could build a pilot program lasting 10 years, let's say. And if we have county land to donate to us, or if you have county land to donate to us, you can allow for a higher density subdivision so then we could build some houses on a 1-acre county-owned land, maybe. As we move forward, we can practice the best safety options under Appendix Q. I know we can't move wages up and up to a level where people can afford housing, so why not move the size and expenses of housing down and down so that it fits in with the wages of our working poor? Every day I see people losing hope because of higher and higher housing costs. We are in a crisis now, and out of desperation to untie the red tape and to create places to sleep for more and more vulnerable people, maybe we could declare tiny homes to be occupiable art forms where we can freely express ourselves artistically while living under the First Amendment. Artists need freedom for their creativity. Under the First Amendment, our citizens have the freedom of expression. Or maybe we could declare tiny homes to be a research project, or call it a tiny home village, an educational endeavor, or a church ministry where we can minister to the needy, maybe. Just food for more thought. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I was negligent before we started to say that this is a public comment time for 3 minutes of public comment, anything to do with county council business. When you come to speak, the green light's going to go on. Amber lights, you got a minute left. Red light comes on. We ask you to stop your speech. Robert Ray, step on up, my man.
Hello, my name is Robert Ray. I'm also the Sand Hill Acres HOA president, and I'm Lincoln DeMone. I'm actually here to support Jim with the tiny houses because he's correct. We are in a crisis. Even people in manufactured housing, we are just one crisis away of being homeless ourselves, and we won't have nowhere to go. We got seniors, veterans, low-income people that are working at McDonald's and chicken plants, and if they don't pay, they fall behind, a bill comes up, your daughter gets sick, they're going to be homeless. So we need to address affordable housing today, not next year. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Chris Barrasso. I don't know. Oh, it was one going that way, one coming back this way.
Yeah, we got a double wave going.
Good morning. Rich Barrasso with Sarge. Mr. President, county staff and council, as a courtesy, today's public comment will be an abridged version of what Sarge will be sending to our network, as well as in a press release. This morning's comments will focus on the prolonged public frustration and the unintended consequences of unrestrained development and the deterioration of roads and roadway capacity. The citizens of Sussex County have spoken long, loud, and clear that traffic and congestion are the overwhelming issues coupled with the pace of development. They have strongly stated their desire for Sussex County to assert more control over the impact of development on their daily lives. For the past 50 years, past county commissioners and council have told residents there is nothing they can do about roads and traffic. DLDOT is responsible. This is simply not true. DLDOT does not generate traffic. Development does. The Sussex County is responsible for approving traffic generating development. This fallacy is repeated despite the fact that Delaware law is clear in that all land use decisions from zoning to road levels of service are the sole responsibility of the local governing body. But past county officials decided decades ago to deflect the responsibility. There are many anecdotes and stories of agreements made years ago between the county and DLDOT to better control growth and improve the road system. Yet very little has happened. The current process seems haphazard at best and completely ineffective in balancing and managing impacts of growth. Now, Sarge applauds the effort of County Council in their recent designation of roads and DLDOT as one of their top five priorities for comprehensive plan implementation, including the six key action items. It is now time for the county and DLDOT to exercise their authority to change their approach regarding new development by implementing a new binding development compact. It must be clear, unambiguous, and enforceable, and it will direct and regulate how new development and its transportation impacts will be managed. The underlying guiding principle of the new concept should address strengthening the county development regulations through the enactment or changes in ordinances, collaboration with DLDOT in the execution of stronger MOA, which considers the accumulation of existing and projected traffic and proposed rezoning in a greater area of influence. A basis for the county to approve or deny or delay all or part of any development until specific highway improvements are completed. And then greater developer participation in and or funding of transit or traffic mitigation solutions. In closing, this will require a great deal of political will to bring to realization. Nothing good ever comes easy, but it is doable if the will is there. The future is still to be determined. Sussex County must better control how we continue to grow. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Paul Rieger.
Good morning. Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road. There was an old Board of Hearing Adjustment hearing concerning a child daycare center. And basically,
thank you.
The board found that the home is in an agricultural preservation area, and she was unaware, or Department of Agriculture will allow a daycare facility to operate on the property. Well, the daycare, when she had came in for the application, she came in asking for to have it for 9 children under 16 or whatever it was. Well, when the county sent down to go research the deed restrictions on it or the farmland preservation restrictions, the state get the thing that the county had came back with was that the state had the restrictions on it for them to only have up to 5 children on there for the daycare. And when that was brought up, we had Ms. Cromwell and Mr. Sharp both, after reading that, you had Mr. Mills, I believe, or one of the other Board of Adjustment members make a motion to approve it for 9 children, which was more than what was in the restrictions on from the state on the preservation. And basically, Ms. Cromwell and Mr. Sharple said that he could not go over the 5 children because of the restrictions on it. So basically, is if we can't override deed restrictions for, or we go with the recommendations of restrictions on farmland preservation from the state, how are they intertwined with other hearings that have gone through the Board of Adjustment, where yet the Board of Adjustment says we do not take them into consideration or however it works? But yet, we're still sending the attorneys to go research all the deeds and titles. If the decision has to be made, either we follow it and enforce it or we don't. What the deed restrictions are, whether we're going to include them or not, but you can't have it both ways. The second thing is with Board of Adjustment with fences. Just if you go through the last few months, how many of them are on there? Some are residential, some are commercial, some are ag. You had the cell tower come in, listed as needing a fence permit. During the hearing, it was commented that the planning director was given them approval through administration project process. They didn't need the variance for it. And different agriculture fences, in my instance, where I didn't need no variance for my horses to have the 4-foot high fence in the front 30 or front 40 in my property. It was done automatic. Going forward, if there should not be a commercial, agricultural, or industrial fence variance or fence height for those 3 on the Board of Adjustment, because if she agrees with it, it should be approval. If it's on there, she should be able to say at the meeting why it's on there and why we don't want it.
Thank you, sir. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. I got a question. Now I'm sure nobody's going to answer today, but I need an answer. Something about when one of the planning and zoning has another hearing or a continuation or whatever, there's a 5-day grace period or something that you can write in or whatever. Does the 5 days start the day after, straight through, or is it 5 working days? Very easy to answer. The next question I have, you're going to have a public hearing this afternoon. There was no signs posted on that property. I have yet to find anybody that says there was a sign posted that there was going to be a hearing this afternoon on that property. prior to planning and zoning and here today. I've been past the place myself quite a few times. Have never found a sign. I don't want to know why we've got a problem of signs not staying up on these properties, or people just coming along and taking them up. I ain't buying. I believe your peons aren't doing their job. They need to be placing them so they can't be removed. And as far as these guys and their stupid saying development causes traffic, I got news for you guys. If you don't like it here, go back wherever you come from. I am sick and tired of you guys. Oh, you can't build here and you can't develop here. It's none of your dang business. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Harold, I can't read this. Harold O.
That's me.
Okay. Versus saying it wrong, I just ask.
He gets up and says, oh.
My name is Harold Osman, and I am here, have been asked to represent the, or speak for, the Meals on Wheels from the Cheer Centers, and the importance of the Meals on Wheels program we have, not only in the state of Delaware, but all and mostly in my county. I understand that there's a bill or something in legislation now to decrease the funding for Meals on Wheels, and I'm here to make an appeal to the county council that you do all you can to defeat that. It's very important to the senior citizens in Sussex County. I being one of them, I'm 90 years old and I depend on Meals on Wheels for my one warm meal a day. I know there is a plan right now to build a new kitchen for the Meals on Wheels program someplace on Side Hill Road. That is an ideal situation. $1.6 million, I believe, is the cost of that. And it's to be borne by the state, county council, private donations, and other foundations that can afford. I hope that will be funded very shortly because it's very much needed. I have nothing more to say except I'm here to plead our case for Meals on Wheels.
Thank you, sir.
It's very important to us. Sure. Thank you very kindly.
Thank you. Rocky Kane.
It's my father-in-law. Thanks, folks, for taking the time to hear. Again, I'm speaking for Cheers. I'm a volunteer driver, and I also have a unique perspective that the lovely lady there is my wife, his daughter. So, and the impact that it has across the family. So she, as a caregiver, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with it, that she takes care of her father. Her mother is in Harbor Health in Lewis. And the degree of stress, even though there's a lot of love and respect there, there's doesn't limit the stress and concern. As a driver, as a volunteer, I've only been doing this for 2 years as a volunteer since I retired. And it's amazing when you drive through these neighborhoods that we know, Front Street, Edwards Street, Pleasant Avenue. I didn't even know there was a Pleasant Avenue. And you knock on a door. It's not until you open a door that you see the need. And unfortunately, a lot of those people are not going to be able to come and express that need for to you. It's an outstanding program. You know that. This is just common sense. We're all just one bad incident away from bad health or whatever kind of tragedy to be in that kind of need. You have a tough job. You know, have a certain amount of money, decide where it goes. And I hope you consider the Cheers program. It's opened my eyes quite a bit. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir. You too. Mr. Lawson, Cabinet Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. County Administrator's Report for March 19, 2019, Item 1. Sussex County's Economic Development Office will host this Friday a workshop on five new federally designated opportunity zones aimed at helping spark new business investments and growth in southern Delaware. The free event is set for 8:30 a.m. in rooms 540 A and B of the Carter Partnership Center at the Delaware Technical Community College Owens Campus in Georgetown. The event will focus on what opportunity zones are, what options exist for businesses, and the finances associated with operating within a designated area. The five opportunity zones, part of 25 zones statewide designated by the U.S. Department of Treasury, include areas in and around Milford, Georgetown, Laurel, and Seaford. The designation means qualifying investors are eligible for federal tax incentives in identified low-income and economically challenged areas. Zone designations are intended to encourage additional private investment and bolster ongoing community efforts. More information can be found on the county's website or by contacting the county's Economic Development Office at 855-777-70. Item 2, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, Salt Air received substantial completion effective March 4th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. We're going to move number 2 item under you to the end of our morning.
Yes, sir.
Aaron Brewington.
Good morning, Mr. President and Council. I'm here today to talk about our Occupational Health Services Request for Proposal. Some of our scope of services that are covered under this RFP are pre- and post-employment exams, post-injury treatment, occupational health medical reviews, workers' compensation exams, vaccinations for safety-sensitive employees, respirator fit testing and audiograms, drug and alcohol screening, and DMV medical exams. Our RFP schedule, we published the RFP November 5th, 2018. The submission deadline was November 30th, 2018. We had the review panel meet on December 3rd to review the two proposals, which we came up with additional questions for both organizations. We interviewed Access Quality Healthcare and Bay Health on January 24th, 2019. And the review panel wants to make a recommendation to council today. One thing that I would like to talk about, we have partnered with our current occupational health since 2014. As you can see in 2011, our total lost time injury days were up at 300. Once we partnered with an occupational health provider, it dipped down, and then even more so today.
So we have somebody today that's currently doing all of this?
We do. Currently, we are partnered with Access Quality Healthcare. We had been partnering with them since 2014 with those services. Some other services that we had were our pre-employment exams and random drug tests. That was with Barnes Healthcare, who went out of business in 2016. So they, Access, did take over all of those folks, all those services for us in 2017, and we've been with them ever since. It's important to say that EMS has been partnered with Bay Health, and that is the other organization that we are going to show you some information on. And then they chose to come over to us because of all the services being in Access Quality Healthcare. It requires us to do an RFP for services.
And you will do this RFP how often? Every 2 years, 3 years?
Our proposal is for every, this is going to be for 3-year contract and then extension case by case, because we're only limited to two organizations that do this for us in Sussex County. So basically we could do just a market check if we need to, but we'll talk about that in just a little bit.
Thank you.
I want to talk about service availability. Right now we have Bay Health, who has moved into Sussex County. We have a satellite office that is in Milton. We have our Access Quality Healthcare that has two locations in Sussex County. One is in Long Neck and one is right here in Georgetown. So as far as service availability, we are a lot closer to Access Quality Healthcare. Our recommendation was based on several items. and one is providing occupational medicine. So Access Quality Healthcare provides solely those services in those offices. We have that office also available with Bay Health in the Milton location. So as far as convenient service locations, of course, Access Quality Healthcare is closer. We have two within Sussex County. The physician availability, we have the same doctors that rotate in both the Long Neck and the Georgetown offices, so we're always able to contact those doctors that are working on cases for us. With Bay Health, it's a little different. They do have three service locations, one's in Kent County in Dover. We have the Milton office and then the Milford. And all the doctors rotate within those offices, so we would not know, you know, which physician was at what location on a daily basis. As far as the qualified support, that was, let me go back to that. As far as the qualified support, we had the same doctors, physicians assistants, certified nursing technicians at all of those locations. The costs were comparable as well. So basically out of both of those, because of the convenient location and the physician availability, we did the panel selected Access Quality Healthcare. I do have a breakdown too of how much was spent. So year to date, we're at $43,000. Environmental services has roughly approximately 2,000 of that. We've spent 16,000 in HR for pre-employment exams and some return to work. And EMS currently has 25,000. Okay. So it is our recommendation today to ask for a contract with Access Quality Healthcare for 3 years and then to renew on a year-by-year extension. Do I have any questions?
I'm going to guess that because you don't know how many people are going to utilize this, there's not a fixed cost like so much a year. It's based on how many people use it or need it or whatever.
Correct. It's based on all of our new hires, our turnover rate, you know, if there's any fit for duties that need to to happen. So we really don't have a fixed cost.
Yeah, I think you would. Any questions, Council?
So this is essentially just to improve the access and availability and, you know, make it easier for the employees to get
really through. Yeah, for right now, it's, you know, we're already partnered with Access Quality Healthcare, but because EMS came from Bay Health onto Access Quality, the vendor itself, Access Quality, is over that threshold, so now we need to do a request for proposal.
Yeah, so, I mean, I wasn't part of the meetings, so this is new to me, what we're trying to accomplish here. But do you anticipate higher costs overall or same, essentially?
It really depends. I mean, we based it on the previous year is what we take a look at, and use of it. So if we have, we really can't tell if there's going to be issues, like if someone needs to have an eye test or a hearing test.
But just based on use, it shouldn't increase costs necessarily.
It should not. Our costs actually stay the same as they are today. And both organizations were very comparable.
I just want to be sure I understand, because it's just the way I explained it this morning on the radio is it was just to improve access and quality for the employees, make it simpler and easier to get service.
That's very true. Because if we are sending our folks to Milton, since we're located throughout Sussex County, we also have time, mileage involved with sending them.
Any more questions to council?
So we had none in Georgetown, is that correct? We had none in Georgetown?
Yeah. We have one in Georgetown and we have one in Long Neck.
So where's that at?
It's,
I know it's probably just in the phrase, I'm not supposed to say that. Where is it?
It's right on Long Neck Road.
Is it, what, in Georgetown?
No, the one in Long Neck is on Long Neck Road. Where's the one in Georgetown?
The one in Georgetown is on Route 113.
I'm interested in Georgetown.
Route 113.
113?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found it yet. I'm back that way.
It is where LabCorp is in Georgetown.
Oh, LabCorp.
Mm-hmm. It's in that same building. It's on the second floor.
We're near BB?
Yes.
Any more questions?
Do we need a motion?
We have a motion, ma'am.
I do. Be it moved that Sussex County Council authorizes the Human Resources Department to enter into a contract with Access Quality Healthcare to provide comprehensive occupational health services for 3 years with the option to renew on a year-by-year extension basis.
Pleasure, Council.
I so move.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
That's a contract, right?
That's a contract.
Contract, no cost going up.
Right.
I second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take a vote. Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mr. Medlars. Project contribution for pump station 200 entrance safety modification. There you go.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, council members.
Good morning.
The one we have before us is pump station 200, and you probably, you may have noticed that one because it's sort of a very prominent location right south of the Dartmouth Road intersection. It's one of our worst access points. We have been working with DLDOT on an improvement to that because DLDOT is looking for a relief route, and I don't know if you frequent the Wawa right at that intersection, you know that there's a relief route from the Wawa built right next between the Wawa and the substation for a DP&L. So they want to mirror that same approach on the south side, so there would be a rights in, rights out right there on the south side. And initially that design in late 17 was supposed to go through our pump station, essentially where the pump station entrance is today, would have taken that land and made that the entrance road, rights in, rights out. Over a number of total five revision cycles, it sort of moved south a little bit and is now just south of our parcel because we own this parcel there. So now we would take access off the entrance road about 100 and some feet in. So when you, and I think you saw that in the attachment if you open it. So the what DLDOT is doing the improvements in the right of way under a DLDOT project. It's actually ongoing right now. I looked at it this week, last week. And the developer is taking it from the right of way all the way to the plaza, and including our entrance to the pump station, our new entrance to the pump station to our property line. So when I asked for the proposal from the selected contractor, Utilisite, I said, please break out the improvements we need to our pavement, our pump station site, which is about $6,000, and the overall cost to build that whole thing from the right of way to the plaza, which was about 148 plus. So the initial request was from the contract, from the developer, for us obviously to donate the land. Yeah, we were willing to do that, but that fell through. So then he asked for 10% plus the cost on our property. That was like 21 and change. So I said, we're just going to top it at $20,000. I'll request council to contribute $20,000 towards that safety improvement, which makes it significantly safer for our team members to enter and exit pump station 200. So it makes sense, but it's sort of an unusual request because we either do it ourselves or we team up with DLDOT. But in this case, we don't want to have any contractual obligations. Once it's completed, we would make a contribution.
Okay, you have a motion?
I do have a motion for that. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council approve a contribution in the amount of $20,000 to the owner of Henlopen Plaza Ocean Highway LLC towards the safer entrance to pump station 200 in lieu of a land donation to be paid upon construction completion.
Pleasure, Council.
I'll make a motion to accept it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
I'll second that.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Ms. Jennings, I see the next thing is grant requests, and these are both Mr. Burton's, I think. Do we know what he wanted to do?
I did not. I had gotten Mr. Hudson's, but unfortunately hadn't been able to get up Mr. Burton's. So okay. We can defer them to next week.
I think you're going to help spend his money.
Well, let's not do that right now. Wait later on in the year. In that case, we will defer the grant requests until next week. Mr. Moore, any proposed ordinance introduction?
Yes, Mr. President. There's one, and it's in Mr. Burton's district, an ordinance amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an HR1 high-density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 12.50 acres more or less.
Anybody can...
Yeah. Well, I'll introduce it if
Mr. Raleigh introduce
it's appropriate.
It. That's, yeah, sure. That's fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any council member comments? Council member comments? Hearing none, entertain a motion to adjourn until 1:30 public hearings.
To recess.
I recess to 1:30 public hearings. Is Deldot here?
No, Deldot is not here. Originally, when we constructed this agenda, Mr. President, we assumed that the old business would take us to about 11 o'clock and then have Deldot present around 11 o'clock. So I would anticipate their arrival around 11. I see two of our planning zoning commissioners have arrived as well, anticipating an 11 o'clock start. So perhaps we can recess for a little bit. And
when?
I would say 11 o'clock, if that would be appropriate. And then we could come back out of recess and have the Deldot conversation.
Sure. Is there a motion to recess to 11 o'clock?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Raleigh.
We can go right on if you want to.
Would you second the motion for us?
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Thank you very much, sir. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Raleigh?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. We're now in recess.